This is the Just Live podcast with Dan and Susie Potter, episode 8.
How do stories impact your life?
Today we're going to talk with Dan about a story that has highly impacted his life.
We begin in 22 seconds.
Live life, see the good days in it, just live.
Life is a remarkable story and adventure that only you can create.
We exist to motivate and equip you to live fully alive.
So today in this Just Live podcast with Dan and Susie, it is episode number 8. And then we're talking about how stories impact your life.
So there have been many stories in my life that have just rocked my world. They have changed my outlook on things. And I think the idea is when you come face to face with a story and you embrace that story, you can't help but having a bit of a change in your worldview.
We've been talking about stories. This is a part of our stories series here on the podcast. Stories definitely impact life. Dan could have had a middle name of Story. He doesn't have that as his middle name, but it could have been because Story is so powerful for him. And we've been exploring in this Just Live podcast some story elements. And today I thought, oh, this would be so good if we would just highlight one of the stories in particular that from a young age has highly impacted you. What story is that, Dan?
Well, it's a story called Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Both the book and the movie came out in 1971, directed by Mel Stewart, and
okay.
It just totally rocked my world. Our family went to church every single Sunday night, except when Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was on TV. It only came on Sunday nights a couple times a year. And that Sunday, I could stay home.
Oh, it was skippable of church.
It was skippable.
I can see how this could have high impact stories, staying up late, watching a movie that wasn't so common back in those days. You couldn't watch a replay. Mm. You had to watch it when it was actually aired.
If you missed it this year, you'd have to wait till next year.
And story is something that is very visual, always in your head. You have you're good at auditory, you're good at visually learning because of your dyslexia. Can you just tell about the gift of dyslexia and how that has made stories
well,
so
part
important?
Well, part of my gift, my genius of dyslexia is
yes.
That I didn't read a book till I was 16, even though I had the book. I had the book by Ronald Dahl, but my mom read me books.
Go, Mom.
And she's a great reader. She's just an amazing reader. And she took me places.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, there's only been a few books that just really hit me. And movies were probably more powerful because they were more visual. Walt Disney was like my best friend because he would take me places. And
yeah.
Those stories impacted my life. And I'd love to take a moment and talk to you how just the movie, the ideas, the way the film, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder, really helped set a foundation spiritually as well as emotionally for who I am today.
Okay, before we jump into that story, you said some very powerful things. Can you unpack for us how you get a picture? You hear something, you see something. I watch the effects of your mind working like this daily. I do not know how your mind works. But how can you unpack the story? How can you visually see something when you hear it, or how can you take it further? We're talking about story and the impact in your life. Just say a bit more about that.
As a dyslexic person, I don't know if this is with all dyslexic people, but we have to connect things. Everything has to be connected because the simple lessons that everyone else gets, the way everyone else processes A, B, C, D.
Linear.
We don't do that. We're much more random, non-linear.
Yes.
And so everything, every input into our life is connected to something else. And so we are all day long making connections. We are always, this is like this. Metaphors are perfect in our world because
yes.
Everything is connected to something else. So my mind is always thinking, what is that connected to? So Susie sometimes will read to me in the car and she'll get to the first paragraph bang, I'm gone because I am connecting that first paragraph.
He needs no more.
So she'll get to page 5. I haven't heard any of it because I'm still working on this connection, which is absolutely amazing. I don't think the world's ever made that connection before in my mind. But so I have to have time to connect, 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 because that's where the impact comes from, those connections.
So Dan calls it connection. One of his strength finder gifts is called orchestration. And when I think of connection, I think of people. And I am a connections genius, but this is the people side of it. You are an orchestrator. That's my word for when he says make connections. You orchestrate all these seemingly random concepts, ideas, brainstorms, whatever, and you put them together. And so I can't wait to hear you unpack the story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and the way you make the connections or the way you orchestrate all of these story elements into some sort of meaning.
Well, also I want to warn you, as I'm talking about Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, the movie basically is what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to talk about it as if it is. So,
because to you it is.
It is. When I make the connections in my mind, I see these things actually unfold. I see Jesus in the production room. I see these things happening. And so I will be speaking as if, and this is how it happens, because it's how it happens in my mind.
It's very real.
It may not be factual that that's how it happened, or that's why the author wrote it, or why the director put it this way, but I speak it as if I see it, as if I've lived in it. I've been on the set with Willy Wonka. In my mind, I've been there. I've connected to it so many times.
Your imagination is so vivid and so real. It is as if it truly is. And for you, it is. That
it
is the truth.
It is.
That is the reality. So help us understand it. Unpack this story that has greatly impacted your life.
And I think every story has power. I mean, if you follow the hero's journey, you follow the story path, there is a main character. In Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, the main character actually is Charlie. Charlie
main
Bucket.
Character.
A poor kid, lives in the poor side of town. Parents are very poor. In the 1971 version, there was only mom. In the 2005 version, there was mom and dad. In the book, there's mom and dad. So they changed a little bit to make Charlie look a little more alone.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a story of this boy who's alone. Everything is stacked against him. Mm-hmm. And yet, that's the problem. The world is stacked against him. Everyone else has everything. He does not.
Main character has a problem. And so main character is Charlie, has a problem. His problem is everything stacked against him. He's missing some things that other people would have in their world.
But he has a guide. And this guide, he's never met. He's heard stories. This is a folk hero. Willy Wonka. Grandpa Joe.
Guide.
Used to work for him. But something happened. People were stealing his great inventions of great candy, and he closed everything. Had the Oompa Loompas shipped in from someplace in Africa, I think it was. And they ran everything, and production was still happening, but no one saw Willy Wonka for years.
It was a secret.
But Willy Wonka has this plan. And he puts in his chocolate bars a golden ticket, and they go all over the world. And here's the interesting thing. The golden tickets are open for anyone. There is
random selection.
Any person in the world can get a ticket. It is not just if you're rich. He made it in such a way that the tickets are available to all, but there are only 5 who are going to get a golden ticket.
Okay, so Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, he is the guide. The plan is this golden ticket that will allow 5 people to be randomly selected.
And what we don't know in the beginning of it is Willy is about to turn over his incredible imagination station of confectionery and all the rest of the stuff. He's about to turn it over to someone new, but he's looking for that one or those
ones. It's a legacy turnover.
Those ones who will have the same child mindset as Willy Wonka does. And the interesting thing is there's Slugworth who's trying to tell people that, you know, I'll steal the formulas, I'll pay you for them. It was all part of this plan by Willy Wonka to see if these children would be connected to Willie in such a way that they're trustworthy.
Mm, mm. So it was like a character check of sorts. So all of these little game plans and all of these little trials or whatever in each of the spaces.
Okay, so if you've ever watched the movie, you got all that part. What you maybe didn't get is this incredible thing that Willy Wonka is God.
What? Willy is God?
Wonka. He's the creator. He's the creator of all things.
Okay, so this is a parable that you're collecting.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the impact side of the story.
I learned truths about God. I have to tell you this. I learned truths about God watching Willy Wonka.
Like what? What kind of truths about God did you learn?
The creativity.
Okay.
The whole thing of sin and how sin separated. And the Old Testament was before he opened up the opportunity for the golden tickets to come out. The golden ticket was Jesus Christ himself who came into the world. I mean, this is so in my mind. I can see this so clearly. Every single person has a chance, but only few find it. And this was the opportunity for Charlie to find the golden ticket.
Willy Wonka, character of God. You said creativity.
You look at his office, you look everywhere. There is this upside down kingdom in the factory. Nothing makes sense in his office. Half wallpaper, half things, half this, half that. Because you can't actually understand the creator. You can't actually get into the mind of Willy Wonka. He is so far above, and yet he knows all that's going on. And when he leads them in, you can see that there's wonder and there's whimsical, and yet he moves into this room that squeezes you so that you can move into this paradise where there's a river of life. Well, a river of chocolate. There's a lot of parallels all the way through. There are trees that you can pick from, and yet there is warnings all along the way.
So you've got the picture of God, the picture of us in the midst of Willy Wonka and the chocolate factory and the guide Willy Wonka. So anything else?
Oh, there's tons more. All these children. So there is Charlie. There is Violet Beauregard. There is Mike TV. There is Veronica Salt.
Veronica.
And Augusta Gloop. Those are the children. And each of them,
they got the golden tickets.
They got it. And yet when they got in, they could not live this selfless life. They were totally self-focused.
Okay.
I want more. I'm chewing more. I'm competing. I am better than you. I want TV all the time. Daddy, buy me this. I want more to eat. There is this growing self-focus that actually is destroying the factory. Everything's going to have to be clean. Everything is going to be destroyed by these children who are not in the mindset of Willy Wonka, which is this is all for the people of the world. And he gets glory from seeing people delight in what he has created.
All these candy creations.
And yet these children don't get it. All they get is, this is for me. Willie's made this for me. I want more for me. They don't get the whole idea that they are being blessed, that they can bless others, which goes back to Abraham. There is this beautiful picture of goodness everywhere. But I love the fact that Charlie and Grandpa Joe, they're not perfect. Mm. They go into the room of the bubbles and they float and they almost hit the fan and they touch the top and they're going to have to clean all that. And he gets a gobstopper and he puts in his pie. All these things is part of the human problem, that there is this God, Willy Wonka person beyond imagination, who has made all things good, and we step in and we begin to destroy it because we have that selfish nature inside. So there's that journey of, what are we going to do? Are we going to follow these ones? And the Oompa Loompas sing a song about, there they go, and they have chosen to live a selfish life, which is like story of history, story of God and us has to do with that whole idea that God has made things so incredible. He is love. He is blessing. And we screw it up.
Yeah.
And Oompa Loompas come and you turn the page.
So God's design, he is love. God is love. And you're talking about the reason why they missed the mark, really, in the testing of the golden ticket. Those chosen through the golden ticket random selection. Selfishness is the opposite of love. And so this was a test of love, but these ones were selfish and didn't accomplish that. That's a very powerful message that we're getting from the story. That's really the story of God, the story of us, that love is conquering and love is over selfishness. Mm-hmm.
And each of the children, because of their selfish lifestyle, they end up getting sucked into the river. They end up becoming a big grape. They end up being put into all kinds of pieces. But all of them end up becoming smaller. There's a squeeze that takes place where Charlie, he's expanding. He's growing. You see this because he's willing to love, because he's wanting to appreciate all that's around him. You see his character developing, where you see these other ones, because they're so self-focused, they lose the very life that they should be having. And the interesting, the scariest, the most crucial, the most impactful moment in the entire movie was when the tour ends. And it's only Willy Wonka, Charlie Bucket, and Grandpa Joe. And they're in Willy Wonka's office.
So three main characters.
Yeah, and the whole office is half-truth. So there's wallpaper and there's no up. There's everything's about half.
Half, half, half.
And Willy basically says, you may go. Basically, you're out of here. And
you lose.
Wait. The grandpa is saying, but wait a second. You promised Charlie that he could have a lifetime supply of chocolate and all these things. It's like, you lose. You lose because you stole the gobstopper. You touched the places you shouldn't. You did the things you should not have done. And justice says you get nothing.
You lose.
And in that moment in the movie, all you hear is the clock ticking. Because there is truth, absolutely truth. Charlie did what he shouldn't do, and he deserves nothing.
Nothing to lose.
And Grandpa is this person who's saying, let's go sell the formula. There is this voice speaking, saying, we will get ours. Almost saying, let's become like the other children. Let's become self-focused now. And Charlie says, no.
No.
And he takes that gobstopper and just silently he sets it on the desk of Willy Wonka and he lets it
begins to walk away.
Which is showing, I am sorry. I am sorry for everything. And I don't want to walk out here with any kind of distance between you and I, because I still find you amazing. And he lets go. And Willy Wonka says these words. You barely can hear them, but he says, so shines a good deed in a weary world. So shines a good deed in a weary world. You see, what Willy Wonka was doing was he was testing him, testing his character deep down. You have done wrong, but when you are judged, will you rise to that place of life? It was a test, and he passed, and he turns around in his chair full of energy and says, Charlie, you win. I'm sorry I had to put you through this test, but you win. And every time in
ding,
that
ding,
movie,
ding, ding, ding,
I knew
win.
It was coming. I knew that, you know, in the whole God story, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Mm. But I could see God whipping around that chair saying, Dan, you win.
Even though you don't deserve it, you still win. I don't know if you're catching this, but Dan is revisiting, reliving. He is, which character are
again.
You? Which character are you in this whole scenario?
I'm always Charlie.
You're always Charlie?
I'm always Charlie.
Ah, okay. I never knew, actually, that you always were Charlie.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Okay. When did you decide?
And for me.
When did you decide you would be Charlie?
Well, I was always Charlie. It wasn't I decided to be Charlie. I was always Charlie. Charlie was the main character. And when you watch a story, you connect to the main character.
Not always. I sometimes connect to the side characters.
You're not dyslexic. I connect to the main character. I walk that journey. I live that life. I could. The moment he found the gold ticket and Mr. Chopek said, run home. You know, I was like, I was out of breath. I'm running through the tunnel as well. And when he came around the corner and there was Slugworth and that moment, it was like, like, no, run, Charlie. You know, it's like, you know.
Your heart must be like pounding and pounding. Okay.
But there was the golden ticket.
Could you eat popcorn in those like really intense moments?
No. But there was the gold ticket, and I've always felt that I was one that God said, open that chocolate bar. There's a gold ticket. There's this moment from childhood. This story so impacted my life that when I heard the message, when things came out, it was like God had sort of prepared me for that because I watched Willy Wonka. Mm. This makes no sense in the world, but I've connected the dots for myself. And the impact has been huge. And oftentimes, I'm even at that place where I find myself in situations where I'm Willy. And someone comes and they deserve justice. Mm. And yet there's this moment where you realize their heart is in a really good place. Their character is in a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to turn around that chair. And literally I see myself turning around the chair to them and say, no matter what, you win.
I believe in you. Here's another chance. I've seen you do this so many times. So I know that that's a reality for you. Dan, this story, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, is a very impactful one and has been for a lot of years for you as well. You, at a young age, have been a magician doing shows. You learned how to do preaching. Tell us about
my first tuxedo was purple like Willy Wonka.
Oh, is that why?
Oh, for sure.
I've seen the pictures of Dan's magic tuxedo and the ruffled shirt,
Actually, the first message, I have to tell you that I was 12 years old when I gave my very first message, and it was the gospel according to Willy Wonka. It goes back a long, long ways. 12 years old, my first message in church, the gospel according to Willy Wonka. And I have to tell you, a lot of people there that day.
How did that go?
Did not understand it. They had no clear. They couldn't see the allegory.
The connection.
It was like, just give more scripture. And scripture is really important. But sometimes, like Jesus, he told nothing without a parable.
That's
I believe today.
The pictures are so important.
The parables are still there. God is still revealing.
Yes.
All heaven declares the glory of God. I think almost every movie, every piece of music, every book you pick up, you can find truth there because it's the story that impacts your life.
Oh, wow.
And the music. If you listen to the music.
I am feeling this.
You could take the music from Willy Wonka and use it in worship time. I mean,
the
Candyman.
Okay.
Who can make a rainbow?
Who
you know,
can
all
make
this kind of stuff.
Rainbow.
It's all that story. If you're singing it about God, it is an incredible moment because it's like the Candyman can. That's God. And I was so ticked off when I was a little kid because the church started saying, you know, that's about drugs. I was like, no, that's not about drugs. That's about God.
You
and
mean it.
I have no idea how they. Some people are just looking for bad.
Somebody,
that song is not about bad. That
we cannot
song
stop,
is
stop
about
Dan.
Good. Even when Sammy Davis Jr. sang that song, it was about good. It was about God because God is good.
I love how you take that.
End of message.
I love how you take that story just to the ends of the earth and beyond. And I don't know. Listeners, are you feeling it? Are you feeling what Dan's feeling? You might not completely get this allegory, but isn't it interesting that we can get messages about God, messages about connection, messages about love, selfishness,
about life
from really any place?
And this is why I want to encourage you, let your story be told because your story can reveal truth.
Yes.
It always reveals something. Everything you do reveals something about you, something about life, something about God, something about values, something about the Candyman. And the Candyman can because he's so good. And I think this is where we need to live lives that are a story that is good, that people can see the truth way beyond us.
This Just Live podcast episode 8 is all about how do stories impact your life. And so we're talking about how stories impact life. And it's very important that we tell and live our stories. We call it living fully alive. We call it just living. We call it showing up and being that person that God has made you to be full on. And I hope you feel this story of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory that Dan is just starting to unpack for us. You might want to read the story. You might want to watch the movie and see what you see that Dan has been able to reveal to us.
This is just the tip of the iceberg. I wish I could tell you about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and about the power of Mary Poppins, about the Wizard of Oz, the songs that Sting sings, and the songs that come from Kenny Loggins. There are so many hidden things today that I believe God is putting in places that we just need to open our eyes and see it. Every time I go to a movie, I open my eyes and say, where's the story?
Yep.
Where's the impact of
what
this?
What can I learn from
in
this?
My life. That's why I can go to something like Iron Man with Susie, sit in the back row, watch this movie and be in tears, because I see something there
that I believe
God put just for me.
And it impacts your life.
If we're living a story, we need to live a story that impacts life from the beginning to the end of the Bible when it was written. There are two things that stand out: life and death, darkness and light. And here's the thing, your stories need to bring out the light.
Bring out the life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the darkness and stuff needs to be seen. We need to talk about that. But what you feed will grow.
Yes.
And if you feed the light, light will grow. If you feed life, life will grow.
And that's really a goal that we have. So we are part of the Fully Alive Revolution. I hope you are joining this revolution as well, which basically means you want to go for living fully alive, this just live concept. And as we rub shoulders, as we do life with others, our story of living fully alive impacts others' lives and has a ripple effect. And hopefully stories that you are redeeming, that you are living, that you are contributing to will also be stories that bring life and redeem spaces that you are given the opportunity to show up into.
So may you live fully alive as you love your life, your world, and your God. My name is Dan.
My name is Susie.
Together we are Doozy. Live fully.
And love fully. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode number 8.
And I'm going to now go watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us. See you next week.